What a blessing. Amen? Oh, that's a nice message on a Sunday before Valentine. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. We're still in our series concerning the presence of God. How to stay in His presence. How to stay in His presence. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, everlasting Word. Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. Now note what David is saying, the first part of this verse. Let's give God our undivided attention. I have set the Lord always before me. Now that's one statement is what everything else is based on. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that a good word? Let's praise Him. Father, thank You for Your Word. I praise You. I thank You. Give You glory that the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. And I pray today that we'll understand what it is to stay in Your presence. I pray for Your oil of anointing to be upon us all, that we will hear what the Spirit says today. We didn't just come to hear another sermon. We've come to hear from You, O God. So speak to our hearts, change our lives. And there's someone today who does not know You in pardon and forgiveness of sin. I pray the day would be the day that they're saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, guys, it's Valentine's, so I hope that you will be here Wednesday night. I'm going to do something I've never done. I'm going to preach a wedding ceremony. So I've done a lot of wedding ceremonies, and I've written my own. I've always written my own wedding ceremony. So this will be all original, and I hope you'll be with us. Everybody will get a special gift Wednesday night, and a gift that you can give to your significant other, whether it be your girlfriend, boyfriend, or friend, or whatever. All right, speaking of Valentine's, let me get this off my chest, and we'll get into the message. You remember the first kiss? No? You do? I know you do. All right. She'll never forget it. Oh. Now I'm not going to be able to preach. You got me all messed up. All right. At the end of this first date, a young man takes his favorite girl out. He's just so excited about this first opportunity to be with this girl. He's a young man, and he's decided that he would give her her first kiss. With an air of confidence, he leans with his hand against the wall, smiling. And I've written this down so I can remember what he says. He says, "Darling," by the way, my wife loves that word. It just melts her when I say darling. "Darling, how about a good night kiss?" Horrified, she replies, "Are you mad? My parents will see us." "Oh, come on. Who's going to see us at this hour?" "No, please. Can you imagine if we get caught?" "Oh, come on. There's nobody around us. They're all sleeping." "No way. It's just too risky." "Oh, please, please. I'd like to kiss you so much." No. I wouldn't want you to. I just can't." "Oh, yes, you can. Please." No, I can't." "Please," he says. Out of the blue, the porch light comes on. The girl's sister shows up in her pajamas and her hair all in a rabble. In a sleepy voice, the sister says, "Dad says to go ahead and kiss him, give him a kiss, or I can do it. Or if need be, he'll come down himself and do it. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off the intercom button." It can be embarrassing, you know, trying to give that first kiss. It reminds me of the boy who wished his love happy Valentine's. He said, "I want you to be my Valentine, and I would love to meet you under the old oak tree in the park." And he was talking all this about his little girlfriend, and he got to thinking about his daddy, who was a very godly man. And he went downstairs and he says, "Daddy, what should I do about kissing this girl?" He said, "Well, you should pray about it, son. You should always pray about it." So he goes back up in his room, he prays. And so he prayed about it, and he said, "Well, I'm going to go and meet my girlfriend in the park under the old oak tree." So he goes and he meets her, and he thinks about what his daddy had told him to do to pray. And he said, "Well, I better pray before I lay a kiss on her." What he didn't know is his little mischievous brother had been listening to everything being said, even overheard the telephone conversation. And his little brother crawled up into the tree. And so the older brother looked up and he said, "Father, Father, may I kiss the girl that I love?" And his little brother, from a voice up in the tree, said, "Sinner, sinner, pucker up and let her go." So, you know what? You might have kissed your first girl, but you know God's given you a kiss that's everlasting. Did you know that? And He wants to give you a kiss this morning of His love like you've never seen. Well, Psalm 16 is one of the most unique psalms ever recorded. If you'll look in your Bible, I don't know what your Bible says, but you'll see under where it says Psalm 16, you'll see the word Michum of David. Michum. How many of you, your Bible says that? Well, great, you've got the right one. So, the Michum of David. The title Michum is a commonly understood, it's commonly understood as a golden psalm. And you'll not find that. This is considered a golden psalm. It is known as one of the golden psalms, though others think it relates to a word meaning to cover, or the word atonement. Now, always remember that word atonement, all right? You know how it's spelled, A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Well, underline at, A-T, okay? Then underline the word one, O-N-E, and then underline the word M-E-N-T. Now, what have you got? At one with is what atonement means. It means at one with. It means the state of being one with God. Jesus atoned for the sins of man so that man could be and stay in the presence of a holy God. Our sins had separated us from a holy God, but Jesus came and paid our sin debt. Amen? So we can enjoy being in the presence of God today. Amen? You can enjoy. Now, we've been talking about the presence of God. Let me give you a reminder. There is the omnipresence of God, the inner presence of God, and then the manifest presence of God. The omnipresence of God means that God is everywhere all at the same time. The inner presence of God is the Holy Spirit who comes to live, the Bible says, inside of us. Jesus said he has been with you, but now he will be in you. And then the manifest presence of God is when He makes His presence known among us. And I believe God does that in a number of ways. You know, guys, I enjoyed our fellowship last night. We had a great time. Did you know fellowship, you can experience the presence of God? You know, we went out to a hockey game with the man of our church last night, and it was right fun. And David had invited a missionary to come and be with us. And I'd never met the gentleman, but I could just feel the presence of God around that man. He had a sweet spirit about him. He had a glow about him. And so if you want to stay in the presence of God, always consider the kind of people you hang out with. Amen. The kind of people you run with. All right, but here's what I want to give you today. How to stay in His presence. Number one, focus on Jehovah. Now, you'll notice he says in verse 8, "I have set the Lord." Do you see the word Lord there in the Bible? It's all capitalized. The word actually means Adonai, Jehovah is God. That's what it means. So focus on God. When you see the word Lord there, it means you're to reckon all in capitals that this is Jehovah God. This speaks here of a decision that David made to put God first in his life. He determined that God would always be his focus, his perspective. He was intentional. When you're in His presence, you can't look anywhere else. Amen? I mean, when you're in love with the Lord Jesus, you don't want to look anywhere else. The choir sung this song the other Sunday, "In the Presence of Jehovah." It goes, "In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King." You want to maintain a constant, actual sense of the presence of Jehovah, whom when He thus Saul standing at the right hand, David said he understood that this was to be set before him. What is before you and what's on your mind right now? Well, I see it this way. He says, I have set the Lord always before you. When I look at the word always, I immediately think of what Sherry does in all her cards to me. She always writes the word always. She wants to remind me of her continued commitment. Well, that's who God is, amen? He's made a continued commitment. In fact, you want to speak of the presence of God, His promise is He will never leave you nor forsake you, amen? So what does it mean to focus on God? What does it mean to focus on Jehovah? Well, number one, it's all about a love relationship. Now, hear me. All this will come together for you. He says, I've set the Lord always before me. David's saying, I've made a decision to love God. I've made a decision to focus my life on God's presence. I have brought myself, that is, to realize the continual presence of God alike in happiness and in troubles of life. I have decided I'm going to love God. The Bible says you're to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Listen to me carefully. God is in love with you. God is in a love relationship with you. And when you're in love, you will always have that person on your mind. You're always thinking of the other. I asked Sherry this week, I said, what is on your mind all the time? She said, God and you. When you're in love, that's all you think about, right? And the same is true for me. I think about the Lord. I think about Sherry all the time. I think you got to set your focus. David said, I have set the Lord always before me in a love relationship. Always goes a long ways. There's both safety, there's security there. When you're in the presence, you are in the presence of an authentic, loving God, unconditional love. What does it mean to set the Lord always before you? It means that you choose to relate everything you encounter to your relationship with God. What you choose to focus on becomes the dominant influence in your life. You may be a Christian, but if your focus is always on your problems will determine the direction of your life. If you focus on people, then people will determine what you think and what you do. When you choose to focus on Christ, you invite Him to take the most important position in your life, as David did, counselor, defender. Every time you face a new circumstance, you should turn to Christ for His interpretation of that circumstance and for strength. When people insult you, mistreat you, you should seek direction from your counselor regarding his right response. When you face a crisis, you should receive strength from the one at your right hand, David said. When you experience need, you should consult your counselor before you react. When you face a fearful situation, you should take courage from the advocate of your right hand. Everything you do is in the context of your relationship to Christ. One of the saddest indictments of today's church is that Christians have often settled for religion over a relationship. Churches deteriorate into nothing more than a religious institution instead of living in the presence of a love relationship. We must do more for people who come forward to pray a sinner's prayer or to complete a decision card. We must teach them that they are doing much more than joining an institution or even making a public decision to receive Christ. They are entering into a personal, loving, dynamic relationship with a holy God. We need to tell people that when they come forward. You're not just filling out a decision card. You're not just praying a sinner's prayer. You are entering into a deep, dynamic, loving, personal relationship with a holy God. And if people understood that, it changed their whole mind about what it means to be part of the body of Christ. I like what this other version, I don't usually read what other versions say, but I like what this one said. Here's how verse 8 was read in this other version. My choice is you, God, first and only, and now I'm fine, I'm your choice. Let me read that again. I thought it was pretty good. My choice is you, God, first and only, and now I find I'm your choice. And that's the second thing I want to give you, and that is a Lord relationship, where He is Lord of your life, because He is my right hand, it says in verse 8. The Lord is my life. He is my right hand. I couldn't live without Him. What about you? I couldn't make it without Him. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it, what? More abundantly. The word abundant there means life to the very fullest. What do we summon someone to come and stand beside us for? In order that from His presence, that they might be an encouragement, they might be a help, that they might give us confidence. And so God comes to the right hand of the man who honestly endeavors through all the confusion and business of life to realize His sweet and calming presence. In other words, David has said, I've set the Lord before me because He is my right hand. He's your right-hand God. He's not throwing you out to the left. Where is Jesus right now? At the right hand of the Father. And what is He doing there? Anybody know? Interceding for you and I at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for that. And so God comes to be the right hand of the man who honestly endeavors through all the confusion and business of life to realize His presence. It is in His presence that we learn what life is all about. How could you ever become dismayed over your situation with Christ at your right hand? What confidence this should give you that you have a relationship with the Lord. He's your right hand. And then loyal relationship. Now we're going deeper. Because you see, as you focus on Jehovah, because of the love relationship, because He is Lord of your life, and what I mean by going deeper, He says, I shall not be moved, or it means not be shaken. I will not give in to this world, is what He's saying. I will not allow other things. Speaking of sports, you know, for me, that was tough going out last night. I didn't really care about the hockey game, and I know some of you didn't either. You really wanted to see somebody fight. Thank God I learned the Carolina Hurricanes, and by the way, we won 3-1. I knew I'd get that amen from David. He's a Colorado fan. But you know what? You're to never let sports come between you and God. Amen. I'm glad to go out with you on Saturday night, but if there was a ball game today, I wouldn't be going with you. Because I've set my heart on the Lord, and He's more important than any kind of sports. Amen? I mean, who are you loyal to? Are you more loyal to the Carolina Hurricanes than you are the Lord? It's a good thing to go. Am I pronouncing it right? Is it the Hurricanes? Whatever they're called. I don't know. I don't care about hockey. But I'm here to say this to you. I do care about the Lord. Amen? And what do you care about? Where is your loyalty? Where is your heart? What is your desire? Listen to this, Psalm 84:10. For a day in the court, in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper to the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Don't let nobody and don't let nothing become between you and God. Amen? You're in a love. Focus on God. Keep Him in your heart, your focus. You're in love with Him. And out of that love relationship, all I can think about you, all I can think about is you, Lord. I love you. I desire. It's more than just coming to church and singing, oh, how I love Jesus. It's what you think about. What are your thoughts right now? Are your thoughts of your love and your loyalty to the Lord Jesus? I am to be in a deep love, Lord, loyal relationship. And because of that, the fourth thing I want to give you, it's a living relationship. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. Now, look at that word glory because it says my glory. He says the word there actually means I will speak of your glory. I will use my tongue. The word there is it's like the word Ichabod. Ichabod means the presence of the Lord has left this place. Kabob means the presence of the Lord is here and we will speak of His glory. I've been trying to challenge you to do that, to speak of the things of God. Don't speak of the things of this world. I'm telling you, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's a lot of bad things happening in our world. I don't need to tell you, but there's a lot of good things happening when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news is God loves you. Amen. Jesus died for you. And the question is today, here's the question. What's got your focus? Watch, it's sort of like the guy who's going to hit the ball. Jay, if you're going to hit a ball, you got to keep your eye on the ball. Amen? You got to keep your focus. And if we're going to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to love Him. We're going to allow Him to be Lord of our life. We're going to be loyal, and we're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He and His presence has made me glad. Amen? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the presence of the Lord? I mean, if that don't make you happy, I don't know what will. Amen? And it's more, as we'll talk about that in a minute, about the joy of the Lord. And then the second thing I want you to understand, how to stay in His presence, it's because of His faithfulness, the faithfulness of Jesus. Now look what He says in verse 9. I will rest in hope. He says, my flesh also shall rest in hope. That word means, the word there means a confidence, not just a simple wish. Jesus is the hope of staying in His presence. Paul, there he was at midnight now. I mean, at the midnight hour, he was in the innermost prison. I mean, they were afraid this guy was going to get loose somehow, and sure enough, he did. But what was Paul doing? He wasn't complaining and griping because the pastor hadn't come to visit him. He was singing praises to the Lord at midnight. And he was resting in the fact that his hope was in Jesus Christ. Where are you resting today? Where is your hope? Is it in something? Maybe it's in yourself. Here's the thing about resting in hope. You rest in the fact that you serve a resurrected Savior. And that is what the psalmist was talking about. Really, in all honesty, a lot of people don't see this in the psalm, but it's right there. He's focusing on the fact that he believed with all of his heart he served a living Savior. And you know what? We rest in that hope. We're fixing to celebrate it here in just a couple of months, Easter. We need to rest in the fact that we serve a living Savior. Rest in the fact that He is our hope. Paul rested in the hope that God, whether the doors of this prison cell opens or not, you're still God. But you know what happened? He was singing praises and the doors opened. He had jailhouse rock. He was praising God and thanking God even in the midst of his storm. And what did God do? But open the doors. Maybe that's what you and I need to learn to do. If we begin to praise Him and thank Him and focus on Him and not ourselves and focus on the fact that He's faithful to us. Did you know God is faithful? Did you know He's faithful to you? Every breath you breathe, every heart, your heart beats, it's from Him. And you try to do without God for a moment. Hold your breath for 30 minutes. God is faithful to provide. We can rest in that assurance and that hope. And then, yes, I got to get this in here. I don't want to make sense to you, but I'm going to put it in here. Rest in hope, but resurrected in a heritage. The heritage that you have in Christ. For thou will not leave my soul in hell. Jesus said it best. Listen to the way I want to put this in. He said, because I live, are y'all with me? Because I live my resurrection, ye shall live your resurrection also. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus is saying this, I am the resurrected Christ, and because of my presence, because I am alive in you, you too have been resurrected. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sin. You're no longer going, listen to me, to an eternal hell. Thank God you woke up this morning saved, amen? You know that you've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been resurrected, and that heritage is because of what Jesus did. Yes, sir, because of what He did on Calvary and what He did on that third day when He got up from the grave, He now lives in you. Thank God for the resurrection. And then, listen, this is a joyful thing. This is His faithfulness. I'm going to give you a powerful verse of Jesus, but this is what you want to abide, you want to remain, you want to stay in His presence, then you got to understand there is repentance. You have to repent in holiness. How do you stay in His presence? He says, neither will thy suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Sin brings death and corruption, but listen to this. This is a revival verse. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In His presence there is joy. In His presence there is holiness. I'm telling you something. You can't stand in the presence of a holy God and not see your sin. Now, folks, I've dealt with a lot of people, and I've had people say, well, preacher, I am not that bad of a person. I'm not that big of a sinner. Well, that may be your opinion, but in light of who God is and His holiness, your sin's a lot more serious than you realize. A lot of times, we're like the little boy who was real smart, and he said, you know what? I've got it figured out. I'm not going to do what my mom says. So his job was to sweep the house. And he'd sweep the house, he'd sweep it up, and he'd say, you know what? I'm just going to cover it up. I'll sweep it under the rug. You keep sweeping things under the rug, eventually it's going to come out. You can't sweep but so much under the rug, right? And the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Our God is a holy God. And the best thing, if you want to know who Jesus is, He draws us to Himself. And in drawing to Himself, you know, I used to not understand this. I didn't get this. I want you to get it. He gives us the gift of repentance. You don't have to do it on your own. He gives you the strength to repent. Isn't that neat? It's not our nature to turn from our wicked ways. It's not our nature to humble ourselves. In fact, our nature is to be prideful. Our nature is to stick our chest out and say, I'm right and you're wrong. That's our nature. But God's nature is that He loves us enough to not let us get by with anything. Are y'all listening to me? Repentance in holiness. He says, in the days of refreshing shall come. I just think that's a powerful, powerful verse of Scripture. In His presence, Jesus, the true Holy One, is faithful. He says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only will a sense of God's presence be a deterrent to sinning, but it will gladden your heart, brighten your life, and give meaning to every circumstance, because it's in His presence that we experience the faithfulness of our Lord. Sin is not a problem for God, but you have got to say that it is sin. You got to own up to it. Reminds me of the carpet guy who owned a carpet business. His business was to keep carpet clean, and he could recognize dirty carpet anywhere. And he was training this new employee, and he had trained other employees, and they couldn't see what the man could see. He that was his job. He could see what was a dirty carpet. And these other employees he would hire, they wouldn't see the dirt. Finally, he got this guy, and he said, now you vacuum, but what is that right there? What is that right there? And the man said, that is dirt. And the carpet owner, the employer, said to the employee, you've got this job because you've recognized the problem. That's dirt. Until you and I recognize the sin, that's dirt in our life. Did you know God can't do nothing about it? No. God cannot forgive unconfessed sin. God cannot forgive unrepented sin. You and I have got to own up to it. We've got to recognize that's dirt in our life. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. It's just like a lot of things. We excuse ourselves and we say, I've not done nothing bad, preacher. I haven't read my Bible since last Sunday. But it's sort of like the old saying, if there's dust on your Bible, there's dirt in your life. You know what? If you forsake the assembling yourselves together in the house of God, you know that's a sin. It really is. See, we don't want to own up to the sins of omission, do we? If you don't read your Bible, did you know that's a sin? The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And no one wants to come to church today and hear any preacher preach about sin and repentance. Nobody wants to hear the truth anymore. But in hearing that truth, we will have the joy of being in the presence of God. You understand where I'm coming from? Your focus will be different. You will understand what a faithful God we have, what a Savior, that He loves us enough not to leave us like we were. Amen? Amen. Our invitation today is just as I am. We haven't sung that in a long time. Amen. You know what? God wants you to come to Him just like you are. And He'll take care of the rest. Amen. Some people say, well, I've got to get some things right before, preacher. I got to get my house in order. I've had people say this to me. Well, preacher, before I joined the church, I got to do this, that, and the other. No, you come to God just as you are, and He'll take care of the rest. Amen. He really will. Thank God. He don't clean us up, and then we come to Him. We come to Him just as we are, then He cleans us up. I like that. And then the last thing, and I say the best for last. I like this. I mean, I like the focus on God and the faithfulness of Jesus. I just like the way it's worded here in verse 11, the fullness of joy. In fact, I wanted to deal with this so bad, thinking about what it is to be in a relationship with a holy God. thinking about what it is to be in a relationship with a person. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to tell you, life is miserable when you're not in a right relationship. It really is. I think about our home. I love this dear lady. And because of my love for her, when things are not right, it drives me nuts. It just drives me up the wall. And so I love her enough to say, all right, what do I need to do different? What do you and I need to do different today? Not tomorrow, today. If you're going to know the joy of the Lord, there's some things you got to learn to do different. Number one, you got to understand, and this is something a lot of people don't get. Thank God this is in His Word. And there again, God loves us enough that we can experience this kind of joy, and that is conviction. Now, you say, well, that's not a good thing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. You know, think about your nervous system. Think about your nerves. What if you couldn't feel pain? What if you stepped on a nail and it didn't hurt? What if you had some kind of disease and your nervous system was just dead and it didn't work? What would happen eventually? You'd die. That's exactly right. You'd die. Thank God for that nervous system that we all have, right? It's an important part of our makeup. Well, guess what? God's got a nervous system called the Holy Spirit, and God convicts us. He draws us to Himself. Thank God that God can deal with your spirit, amen? And by the way, if God's not convicting you, if you never say in your life to your mate or to anybody else, I need your forgiveness. I'm sorry. I messed up. If you never say that, I doubt whether you really are in a relationship with God. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're in a relationship with God, because He's forgiven you, you're going to forgive others. Amen? You're going to show grace because you've been a recipient of God's grace. You want the fullness of joy? Then get your heart right with God. Get it right with one another. The fullness of joy. The question is, how do you stay in His presence? Not only do you want to be in His presence, but you want to stay in His presence. Now, here's the verse. This is the verse on how to stay in His presence. Jesus said it best, John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In other words, the secret to staying in His presence is recognizing the fact that the Lord gives us His joy. Jesus said, I've put my joy in you. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Do you know the Bible says no man can take your joy from you? Yeah. You say, well, I don't feel too joyful today. Well, I'm going to tell you why. You've given it away. Yeah. No man can take your joy from you, but you can give it away. Fullness of joy is the birthright of every child of God. Every child of God ought to have a conscious, conspicuous, continuous, contagious joy. If you're not living a life of joy, you're living beneath your privileges as a child of God. Only constantly living in the presence of God can we live a life worthy of our calling. Only constantly living in the presence of God can we live in fullness of joy. Number one, I've already mentioned it, the word conviction. Conviction brings joy. Thou will show me the path of life. Are y'all listening to me, young folks? You want to know who will show you the path of life? Jesus said, I'll show you the path of life. Are y'all wanting to hear it? Y'all got time to hear it? I want to give it to you. Thank God that God will show you. And by the way, this is how God, are y'all listening? This is how God deals with us. You're walking down the wrong path, and you know in your heart you're going the wrong way. You know this is wrong. You know you shouldn't be on that website. You know you shouldn't be over here doing that. You know you shouldn't be hanging out with that person. You know your God has spoken to you. He's convicted your heart of the path that you've taken, and you've taken the wrong path. Therefore, God has brought conviction to you. Thank God for that conviction. It is human nature to make our own plans and to take our own paths, and then we ask God to bless it. Hello? Anybody done that? Yeah? We come up with our programs and our plans as if we're going to twist the arm of God to bless what we've done. And God will not bless that. No, He won't. Thou shalt show me the path of life. Instead, we should seek God's will first, David said. You can be confident that God will never lead you to a place where you can't experience His presence. He will always lead you in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And friend, that's God's presence. Thank God that God draws us to himself. What happens when the body doesn't function correctly? What happens when our nervous system is not working or something? We can die. And I'll tell you, we can die spiritually just that quick. You know, the Bible says you can quench the Spirit of God. The Bible says you can grieve the Spirit of God. You want fullness of joy? Then let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then, of course, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You want the path? Then follow Jesus. Amen? Fullness of joy. And then I believe the second word is conspicuous. In thy presence, he says, is fullness of joy. I'll tell you what, J-O-Y, Jesus surely means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Amen? You want the joy of the Lord? Then I really believe it's going to show. God's presence will always show up and show out. The joy of the Lord, the kind of joy that stands out in a person's life. Notice he says fullness. That word means completeness. The promise of our Lord Jesus Christ is that I am going to be the evidence of your life. I will be your life. I believe, listen to me carefully. I believe that you can't hide this light if you wanted to. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And you might say, well, I'm going to hide this light. You can't hide Jesus. You can't hide him. Hey, number one, he's everywhere. Amen? We've talked about the omnipresence of God. I'm going to tell you, the omnipresence of God. God's everywhere. He knows. He knows what you're up to. He knows what I'm up to. And there's going to be a conscientiousness about his presence in our life. So the context of this is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Then who did the leaving and who did the forsaking? It wasn't him, was it? He promised he'll never leave nor forsake. It's going to be conspicuous. The presence of the Lord. It's going to be the fullness of joy. And then it's going to be continuous. Notice what he says in verse 11. I'm going to wrap it up. It says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The right hand, even on this earth, is a place of favor. It's a place of honor. It's a place of security. The right hand place is always regarded as the place of dignity and nobility in the court. God is not going to give his people any left-handed heaven, but they are going to dwell at his right hand forevermore. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and this is even more clear, it says, rejoice evermore. I'm telling you something, friend. God doesn't leave us. We leave him. And the joy, no one can rob us of that. We can give it away. It's going to be a continuous joy. You want fullness of your joy? Then let God, the Holy Spirit, show you the dirt in your life. You're going to walk in joy because you've been made right with the Holy God. It's a wonderful thing to be in a right relationship. Amen? And then last and not least, it's contagious. I said it's contagious. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't understand it. For all my life, I have been in the ministry. Why we Christians are more contagious. Now, we've been given these Baptist bumps because we don't want each other's bugs and flu or whatever has been passing around. But boy, we need to give a lot of Baptist hugs to share the joy of the Lord. Amen. If you got joy in your life, it's going to stand out and it's going to be contagious. Amen. I mean, people are going to say, I don't know what they got over there at Gorge Springs, but I want some of that stuff. I got to have it. It's contagious. He says it brings pleasure, our pleasures forevermore. It's not temporary. It's forevermore. It is no longer about earthly pleasures where my flesh needs entertaining all the time. Now, I'm going somewhere right quick before we leave because that's where we are in the church. We like entertainment. We want somebody. I appreciate this brother this morning. He made it clear he didn't come here to entertain us. There's a big difference between an entertainer and a someone who really wants to experience the presence of God. You know, I'm afraid that we've crossed the line in our churches. I really am. I'm going to say it like it is. Have we given up the presence of the Lord for the pleasures of our flesh? We've talked about it in New Members class today, worship wars. We've made the music all about us. I'll tell you, in my lifetime, I would have never thought what I'm seeing, but it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Churches dividing over music. Someone said when the devil fell, he fell into the choir. I'm telling you something. I'm amazed what the devil has done when it comes to music. Really. When I believe the psalmist David understood that all instruments belong to God. I believe every string instrument, every brass instrument, I think it all ought to be used for the glory of God. And I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to make anybody mad today, but it shouldn't look like the world. Friend, you can't reach the world acting like the world. And somehow we say, well, we got to reach these young people. Let me tell you something. The best thing that can happen for the young people here at Gorge Springs Baptist Church is for them to know and experience the presence of God in their life. That God showed up, just like Mike Mabry was talking about his son, Will. He went to the doctor, and Will had all these back issues. And the doctor says, I don't understand it. It's all corrected. It's all right. And Mike said, I understand it. It's my God. Let me tell you something. We need to tell our children, God is real. And he's active, and he's alive, and he's not dead. We need to be contagious about who God is and teach our people in our churches that God's presence is real, church. Amen. But you know what? We've made church all about us and about our flesh, and we want to be entertained. And God says, okay, he said it. Revelation 3, we talked about it, 3:20, young people. Behold, now, that's what this verse means. It's a powerful verse. Behold, I stand at the door of the church. That's what he's saying. Revelation 3:20. He's saying, Jesus, and I believe this scripture is for the church today. Here's the presence of God in our churches. This verse is for us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. In other words, I'll come in and dine with you. I'll come in and we'll just have a knockout, drag out, wonderful time in the Lord. But the Lord is saying in the church of the last day, I'm not in the church. That's what he's saying. Read it in the context. A lot of people take it out of context that God's dealing with a lost person's heart. And I can see how God can knock at the door of a person's heart for Jesus to come in. But the context of Revelation 3:20 is the church. Behold, in the last days, I'm standing at the door of the church. And whoever will hear my knock and open the door, hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Friend, I'm going to tell you, I really, really, really am very serious. I would like for us to continuously experience the presence of God in our lives. So much so, listen, and I'm wrapping it up, that it would be contagious that the other churches and other young people would come in and say, now that's what I want. It's not about entertaining the flesh. It's not whether they do rap music or whether they do contemporary music or they got the fog machines or they got the light, the stroll. No. I'd rather have the presence of God any day. I'm afraid that we have fallen to the flesh where we're trying to create the presence of God in our churches. I know nobody wants to hear this, but the Bible does say there was smoke in God's temple, but it was from his presence, not from a smoke machine. Now, I've been in a church, and I've seen what that looks like, and I didn't condemn it. Be careful what you say, because you're not that pastor and you're not that church. So I don't say, I know of a church, and I got it on my mind right now, that's reaching thousands of people, and they got those smoke machines. I'm not going to condemn them because they're reaching thousands of people. But I am saying this. You don't have to create a false sense of praise. When God shows up, the Bible says his train filled the temple, and the Bible says his smoke filled the house of God. I'm just saying we don't need to be artificial. We got the real deal. Amen. I said we got the real deal.
Amen.
And it's real. And it's contagious. What about you today, young person? What about you? Do you have a personal relationship? Have you set, as David was a young man, he said, I've set myself. I've made the decision. I have set the Lord always before me. That's a powerful, powerful word, isn't it? I have set the Lord. I have made a decision that He would be my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who is your life? Some sports hero? Some great musician? Who is your life? David said, I will set the Lord always before me. We got to make a decision right now. It's invitation time. And thank God, this is who God is. He is so faithful. If you come to Him just as you are, with all your dirt, with all the mess that's in your life, the beautiful thing about God, the beautiful thing is, He'll take the wrong and make it right. He really will. He'll take the sin and wash you whiter than snow. I'm telling you, He's contagious. When you come to Jesus and you recognize that He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me, I'm telling you something, Jesus Christ changes lives. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Here's the invitation. You just come as you are. Just say, God, I'm not what I need to be. God, I've got some dirt in my life. God, I've got some unforgiveness. I've got some problems. I've got some circumstances. Whatever it is, David said, God can take care of it. Listen to me, church. He's faithful. We got a Savior. And He's real. And He really did die on that cross. And He really did resurrect from that grave. And He really said this, because I am the resurrection, I'm going to raise you up now. Let him draw you to Himself today. Allow the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. If you have a want to come today, it's not your flesh. That's the presence of God drawing you. God is here today. He wants you to come to Him just as you are. He'll take you just like you are and change you inside out. And Father, I know that's Your promise and Your word. You said, whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, You want us to have the fullness of Your joy. It's real. It's lasting. Now I pray today, if there's one person who has not set their life on You, that they'll do it now. That they'll make the decision David made when he said, I will set the Lord always before me. This is your invitation. Whatever you do, it'll be because you did it and you get all the glory. This is your invitation. You're the one who paid the sin debt. And I pray that sin debt will be received today as in forgiveness, and that there will be lives changed at this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.